Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
I've gotten to know Gianno Caldwell well from being on Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Fallon. Several times now, Gianno, they put us together on the panel, and it's always a fun time, man. So great to see you, and thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. You're always funny, so I always enjoy being on with you. So,
no,
thank
you're
you for
funny.
Me.
You are funny, not me. You. But Jimmy makes it easy for us, though, right?
Yeah, so, he really does. You know, He really does. He's great.
And tell him to get us back on together, because I mean the audience is demanding it. The people want to see us.
Yes, for sure. Absolutely.
Obviously. Congratulations on the book. Congratulations on the endorsement by President Trump. I know it's a very heartbreaking topic for you and not something you ever wanted to write about, obviously. But you have, and you're doing great work with your foundation. And to have the president come out and endorse your book, call you a great guy, that's really great stuff, Gianno. So congratulations on that.
No, I really appreciate it, and I certainly appreciate President Trump. This is an issue that I think impacts Americans everywhere, so it's good to have that spotlight.
And the issue, of course, is crime. The book is about your brother's murder, and you're going to be joining us in person July 31st together, me and you on stage, Politics and Pints, and we'll talk about the event, we'll talk about the book, we'll talk about what happened to your brother, and what we can do to make America safer, what we all can do, right? Because, I mean, that's really the message here, is that we all have a role to play in this.
100%, and I got to tell you, I wrote this book, The Day My Brother Was Murdered, My Journey Through America's Violent Crime Crisis. And in it, I cover a story that happened in Philadelphia. As I, you know, for folks who may not know, on June 24th, 2022, my life changed forever when my innocent teenage baby brother, Christian, was murdered in Chicago. And since then, I've been out for justice, not just for him, but for other families who tragically had these very same experiences. And when I wrote this book, The Day My Brother Was Murdered, My Journey Through America's Violent Crime Crisis, I wanted to provide light on stories that happened on the very same day as my brother, murders across the country. People like James, who's my first chapter, who was murdered in Philadelphia on June 24, 2022. James was an Army veteran who had PTSD, who often could not sleep. So at night, 1, 2 a.m., he would go to the park and just sit there because he couldn't sleep. On June 24, 2022, he went to that park the same as he always did, and there were teenagers there. And he told them, some even younger than teenage, actually, 10 and 11 years old. He said, what are you all doing out here? Go home. They beat him to death with a traffic cone in Philadelphia. Or people like Catherine in Texas, who was a wife, mother, grandmother, 64-year-old chemical engineer. On June 24th, she was going home from a day's work, and a gunfire took place on the highway in Burleson, Texas. A drug deal had went bad. The person who was selling the drugs was trying to rip off the person that was buying the drugs and vice versa. She became a casualty to what happened that day. We all know how bad it is. In Philadelphia, people are experiencing these tragedies on a regular basis. And you have people like Larry Krausner, whose impact on that city has been extraordinarily terrible. People are not getting justice for their families. There's no accountability. So I wrote this book, The Day My Brother Was Murdered, My Journey Through America's Violent Crime Crisis, because we have to talk about solutions. So I talked to people like John Walsh from America's Most Wanted, Sean Hannity, Dr. Drew Pinsky on the mental health crisis in America and his contributions to violence. I spoke to faith leaders, educators. And I encourage people to pick up this book because we all need to get involved in this fight, because we don't want our families. My family's already been hit, but we don't want anyone else's family to be next.
Yeah, well said. Well, everyone who joins us at the event together on July 31st is going to get a copy of the book, The Day My Brother Was Murdered, by written by you, General Caldwell, and the chance to see you in person and talk to you in person and get to know more about you and your story and how you've risen up at Fox and continue to tell your story across the country, the work of your foundation, how you've gotten to know the president. I mean, all these things I can't wait to talk about together with you on stage that night on July 31st at Bucks County Community College. And again, get your tickets by going to 1210WPHG.com right now, and they will sell out. This will be a sellout event, no doubt about it. For you personally, right now, as you look at people like Larry Krasner, when you look at these Democrats across the country in these cities and the way that they're acting towards ICE agents, the way they're acting towards police, Mondami, the guy who got nominated in New York City, who wants to defund the police. I mean, Jono, the fact that the Democrat Party would nominate a guy like that in a city that is already struggling with a crime crisis, it says everything about our politics today.
Well, it says everything about the Democratic Party today, I would say. The fact of the matter is these policies that people like him, a socialist Democrat, who will likely be the new mayor of New York. I'm hopeful that that won't be the case, but the likelihood is he will be. Is insanity on steroids. Think about the policies in which he's proposed, how he wants to defund the police. Mind you, New York did that after George Floyd in 2020. And what happened? Death and destruction. They defunded it by $1 billion. The fact that he wants to abolish prisons. What? Who comes up with stuff like this? But people voted for it, unfortunately. But the reality is, when you look at the numbers, the people that he says that this is going to help the most did not support him. People making $50,000 and under rejected him by more than 30 points. Black folks rejected him. Hispanics have rejected him. Many, many folks in New York City reject him. And it was low voter turnout. So we'll see what's going to happen. The Democratic Party, many of them have said, oh, we don't really support that. Yeah, you do. It's been evident. You've been doing it. You did it in Los Angeles. You did it in Chicago. So you can stop with the lying. This is what they planted the seed on. And this is the birth of it. This individual.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting when you look at the black vote and the Hispanic vote and how they both the black vote and the Hispanic vote went for Andrew Cuomo. I mean, who's got his own problems, obviously, but, you know, that's here and beside the point. You look at Philadelphia. I mean, how many black voters and Hispanic voters voted for President Trump? I mean, he won the Hispanic vote across the country. And you got more black voters now in cities that voted red in this past election because I think they're sick and tired of the Democrats. I mean, it always seems to me to be the white liberals who are the ones out there backing these politicians who want to defund the police. And it's the neighborhoods of people of color who are the ones that pay the price for this when there's no cops on the streets.
100%. And this black, white, Hispanic, the Democratic Party is so far left now. Any normal, everyday, working class, middle class person, no matter what your race or cultural background is, they are out of step with you. And how do we know this? You just mentioned it. The 2024 election told the whole story. What did people want? They wanted safety and security on their streets. They wanted a strong economy. They wanted ICE to deport many of these individuals that we're seeing protests in Los Angeles and other places. They wanted that. That's what the American people voted for. Donald Trump gave them that. And also, I've been a conservative for 20 plus years, probably like 25 years now. I am African-American for those who may not know. And I've been advocating for the Republican Party to do some of the things that Donald Trump did. Go into the communities where you're not welcome. Go into the communities where they call you a racist. Go there and be in their face and tell them what the Republican Party, the conservative movement, has to offer. So when I was in the Oval Office with President Trump, I told him, thank you. Thank you for what you did. Mm-hmm. And I've been talking to his campaign about it for a very long time because he did something that Republicans didn't have the backbone to do. He went into these areas where they called them names. They didn't like them. They hate Republicans. And he said, listen, what more do you have to lose? Your schools are already bad. Crime is up. Give me a chance. And he did it in 2024 when he went to the Bronx. So President Trump, in my very humble opinion, has been doing the job Republicans need to do. And that's how you win the country back on our side completely. That's how you get the black voters. That's how you get the Hispanic voters. You offer them opportunity. And that's what he's been doing.
And Jono Caldwell, he also went to North Philly. He went to Temple. And a lot of people said, why would you go to North Philadelphia, Mr. President? And he did it for exactly the reason you're talking about, because he wanted to go. He wanted to show up. He wanted to be there. And the fact that he went to the Bronx and he went to Temple says everything about him. The fact that he went and he spoke at conventions with black voters says everything about it, too. And your point about the schools is so great, too, because I've said, you've said, we've talked about this. School choice is a civil rights issue of our time. Yet Democrats keep doubling down on the teachers union, keep doubling down on keeping kids in failing schools. And, Jono, I'm sure that that has an absolute link to the crime crisis in this country. No question about it.
It's called the school-to-prison pipeline, and you're absolutely right. And the reason they doubled down is because, as an example, in Chicago, where I'm from, you got people, or rather a mayor by the name of Brandon Johnson, who's the lowest approved mayor in Chicago history, who only got in because of the teachers union. They poured all kind of money into them. They had people out there working for them. But guess what? When it came to contract time, he gave the teachers union, oh, my God, he gave them a vault. And that's what he did. He basically did, and pay raises and all these other things. But when it came to the police, the Chicago police, he gave them a big F you. And that's quite unfortunate that that's the but that's the reality of the Democratic Party in today's society.
Yeah, it is. Exactly right. Yeah, he backed up the Brinks truck for them. No,
100%.
Yeah. I did know you were black, by the way, because the first time that I met you was during Black History Month, and Jimmy said that was the only reason why you were on the show. But then you were on again after that, so...
Well, you know, I did well on Black History Month, so I guess it was time to come back in. Yeah, the deficit of black people. So here I am. I came out.
We're going to have a fun night together, man. I'm so excited. And, I was thrilled. We were hanging in the green room together. And I said to you, I said, let's do this event. And you were like, absolutely. So this is a chance for everybody to come together July 31st. And we'll be together on stage. And it's Politics and Pints. So there's going to be a bar. And we'll have a great conversation. Tell us about your foundation, because I know on the one time we were on the show together, it was me, you, and Joe Piscopo. And it's very hard to get a word in edgewise with Joe Piscopo, obviously. But I know, right? I mean, does that guy not take over a show or what?
He really does. You see why he was so successful on Saturday Night Live. And you know, I have two organizations. One started the Caldwell Institute for Public Safety, which is very much about targeting George Soros-funded progressive prosecutors, people like Larry Krausner, getting them out of office. We got involved in a Los Angeles district and county race against George Gascon, who was a George Soros-funded prosecutor, and got behind Nathan Hochman, who ended up winning, who's doing a great job, by the way. So what we do is a multitude of things. One, we have advisory service on mental health for families that go through these kind of crises, how to get press attention for your family if you have, unfortunately, something like the murder of a family member, because that's a part of what you may need in order to get the crime solved. Additionally, we have manuals written by police and prosecutors and former prosecutors as to how to work with the police, how to work with the prosecutors to get justice for your family. Please check us out, CaldwellInstitute.org. And for our foundation, the Caldwell Foundation for Public Safety, which is all about policy, lobbying, advocacy, and schools too. We're getting into the schools, which is important, because you just mentioned the schools. There is a school to prison pipeline out there. We need to talk to the youth, because that's where it's important. You got to get them while they're young. That doesn't mean that older folks can't, you know, recover from a life of crime. Sure they can, but it's better to get them before they get exposed to those kinds of things. And in places like Philly and Chicago, where I'm from, the exposure, they get exposed to it so young. So we got to stop that. That's critically important. So support our efforts at the Caldwell Foundation, CaldwellSafety.org, and of course the Caldwell Institute for Public Safety at CaldwellInstitute.org. And I'm so excited, Rich. I really can't wait to be with you. The story I mentioned about James in my book, again, The Day My Brother Was Murdered, My Journey Through America's Violent Crime Crisis. Tanya, who I write about in this book, who took on the voice of advocacy, she's going to be at our event. And one of my board members for the Caldwell Institute for Public Safety, former police chief, his son was that Temple University police officer that was murdered a couple of years back. He's going to come join me as well. So this is going to be a great celebration. We're going to have some laughs. We're probably going to have some tears. And we're going to learn a lot about what's going on and how we can get involved to stop the crisis in our country.
Well, this is an event you absolutely do not want to miss. It's July 31st. Go to 1210WPHG.com right now to get your tickets. It could be an amazing, amazing night. I'm so glad those people are going to be there with you, Gianna, with us there that night. Bucks County Community College's Locke Performing Arts Center. You know, while I have you, I'd love to get your reaction. Matt, can we play the clip of Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson talking about how he's not going to cooperate with ICE? I'd love to get Gianna's reaction to that, if you can play it for us.
Yep, pulling it up right now.
All right, there we go. And you know, and I'm glad, Gianna, you're mentioning these Soros-funded prosecutors, because people like Larry Krasner and these other cities, that's George Soros' entire M.O., is to change America by going from the prosecutor level, change the courthouse, change the way this country looks from the bottom up, not from the top down. And he's been very successful at it, because this is a guy that goes after cops. You know, they prosecute police officers. They don't prosecute criminals. They don't prosecute violent criminals. And as of right now, as of this moment, even though the mayor's not really mentioning it, we are still technically a sanctuary city right here in Philadelphia. Here's the Chicago mayor. Take a listen.
You know, again, it's unconscionable at a time in which so many working people and poor people need government to show up for them, that this administration, the Trump administration, has caused so much consternation and division. Look, we are a welcoming city ordinance. Our local police department will not ever cooperate with ICE. Whatever their constitutional authority is.
I mean, that's all we need to hear, right, Gianna? That's all we need to hear right there.
You know, Tom Holman said something, and he was very clear. For those who do not cooperate or try to block ICE or whatever they may try to do, that they were going to prosecute them criminally. And I think they should, 100%. I understand that that's taboo to prosecute an elected official and something like that, but it needs to be done. Why do I say that? Chicago has been under siege with the migrant crisis. Hundreds of millions of dollars spent towards the crisis. Migrant crime went skyrocketing. And we know it. We have numbers. People have done studies. 3,000%. And you act like there isn't a problem. People are losing their lives. People are getting beat up. They're getting robbed. All kinds of things in this country. And you act like it's a problem for those individuals to do their jobs. It is not a problem. They should be doing their jobs. And it's for the betterment and the safety for all Chicagoans. But this is what mayors like him, Karen Bass in Los Angeles, and many others refuse to do on the left. But I believe they're going to pay the price. But right now, their citizens are paying the price. And that's what's really and truly unfortunate about this.
And that's what we're going to change. And that's what's going to change when you join us on July 31st. So get your tickets right now by going to 1210WPHG.com. You will get a copy of the book, The Day My Brother Was Murdered, written by Gianna Caldwell. We'll hear the story together. We'll talk about it on stage. There'll be some laughs. There'll be some tears. It'll be a big part of all of us. We'll support our law enforcement that night as well. And we'll have a drink to your brother. And to all the victims of crime, we'll raise a glass to them and to all the families who are affected as we try to make things better. And you're trying to make things better, my man. And I salute you for it. I really do. You have my deep respect. And I'm honored. I'm really, truly honored, Gianna, to be on stage with you on July 31st. I hope everyone comes out and joins us that night.
I'm honored to be on stage with you as well. I really appreciate you hosting us, and I can't wait to get into it.
All right, my man. I'll see you in a couple weeks. Gianna Caldwell, everybody. I'll see you on July 31st, buddy.
See you soon.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, we're taking a quick break. We're going to come back. President Trump taking reporters' questions. We're going to jump into that so you get to hear that. I want to thank my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding for their great support of the show. And 10% off inflation relief discount for you and your family when you go to EmmonsRoofing.com. I've trusted Emmons for years. They've done incredible work on my home. The roof with a lifetime warranty, the Owens Corning shingle, the best in the business. Anderson Windows, doors, siding, so much more. That's what you get with Emmons. Make Emmons your go-to. EmmonsRoofing.com. You can trust them. Just like our buddy Chris Eppolito did. He had them come out and give an estimate. Josh came out to see his Shore House. How is that Shore House of yours doing? Make sure you get it inspected. And the Emmons even has a kitchen and bathroom remodeling division. So make sure you talk to them about that. They remodeled the kitchen and bathroom in our old home. Did a fantastic job. I was thrilled. But most importantly, Bridget was thrilled. Because happy wife, happy life. EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We always play that when the president is speaking or taking questions, which he's doing in Texas right now after touring the ravaging flood damage. So thank you for joining us. And we're going to jump back into the president as he's taking questions. We kind of skipped over the introductions and some of those things because I know the questions are what everybody wants to hear. So without further ado, welcome back to the show. And here we go.
Governor, would you want to do that? Do you want to?
Sure.
Is the press going to be respectful of this event, this horrible event, this horrible tragedy? Please, yes. Go ahead, please.
Governor, Marissa Hutmus here with CBS News Texas. Several families we've heard from are obviously upset because they say that those warnings, those alerts didn't go out in time, and they also say that people could have been saved. What do you say to those families?
Well, I think everyone did an incredible job under the circumstances. This was, I guess Christie said, a 1 in 500, 1 in 1,000 years. And I just have admiration for the job that everybody did. There was just admiration. Only a bad person would ask a question like that, to be honest with you. I don't know who you are, but only a very evil person would ask a question like that. I think this has been heroism. This has been incredible, really, the job you've all done. It's easy to sit back and say, oh, what could have happened here or there? You know, maybe we could have done something differently. This was a thing that has never happened before. And nobody's ever seen anything. I've never seen anything like this. I've gone to some real bad ones. I've never seen anything like this. So I admire you and I consider you heroes and heroine. And I think you've done an amazing job. Brian, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. If I could ask you, who was the first person to contact you to notify you that this tragedy was unfolding?
Probably Christy, but I was notified by a lot, and Chip called also. Chip was here for, he thought it was going to be a little flood. He was going to miss the signing for the big, beautiful bill, and he called to apologize. He said he's going to be delayed because of a little flood, and the little flood turned out to be the biggest flood anyone's ever seen. So Chip and, but Christy called right away. She was there. I looked the next morning. She was right there on the ball. So
I just want to say, as a native Texan, I've received hundreds of messages. I told you that the other day, but I want to tell our representatives that are here in the crowd today, thank you for your response. This is Texas Strong. President Trump, this is America First policy in terms to responding to a tragedy like this. Thank you on behalf of Texas as well.
Thank you very much. Well, that's a nice reporter. That's a nice question. That's a nice, but I like his statement even better. Thank you very much, Brian. That's very nice. Yeah, please, go ahead.
Great to see you, President Trump.
Thank you.
Thank you, First Lady Melania, for being here. I'm born and raised in Texas, and there's not a person in our state who hasn't been impacted by this tragedy. But what's been so disheartening recently are these ghouls on the left, like Jasmine Crockett and the left-wing media, who want to point fingers and play partisan games and fundraise off of this crisis. And what I love about Texas is we come together in a crisis, across party lines, ideological lines. So what is your message, and maybe Governor Abbott as well, to these folks on the left who are using this to gain partisan points in viral videos?
Well, I'll start off by just saying, you know, they've lost their confidence. They've had a tremendous run of bad talent. I don't say bad luck, I say bad talent. And all they want to do is criticize. And I hope we can someday be bipartisan, but all they like to do is criticize. And this way, they're getting just absolutely clobbered because everyone sees what an incredible job the governor did. Everybody in this room, everybody at this table in particular, but everybody in this room did an incredible job. And the public knows it. You know, the public's wise to it. They have their soundbite. They send out a soundbite, and it's supposed to be, you know, you're supposed to say that. And if you don't say that, they throw you out of the party. No, they've lost their confidence. I see some of the people they're putting forward, and those people will only ruin our nation. Our nation, a year ago, was dead. And it was going down, but it was dead. And now we have the most successful nation anywhere in the world. You take a look. I was with the king of Saudi Arabia. I was with the leaders of the world recently at NATO. Every one of them said the same thing. They said, you know, it's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Your nation was dead 1 year ago. And now you have the hottest nation. It's the hottest nation, hottest in quotes. It's the hottest nation anywhere in the world. Every leader is saying that. We're the hottest nation in the world. We've all gotten together. We've done a great job. This state has been unbelievable. I work so well with the governor and with your senators and with everybody in this state. We get it done. We've had some pretty big problems here with the floods and all the different things that we've worked out. And we respond very quickly, and they respond very quickly, and they spend their money wisely. You know, we give them a lot of money, but they spend it wisely. I can't say that's true always. Sometimes we give money and they don't spend it so wisely. They spend it very, very foolishly. So, Governor, do you want to say a few words?
Sure. You know, one thing that you pointed out that we all know about Texans is part of our bloodstream, and that is we're Texas tough. We're made for challenges. I read a piece the other day. I'll just quote one line from, and that is, when the rivers rise, so do we, and we rise to the occasion. And the way that we do that is by everybody working together. We are one team united. We are Texans, and fighting as Texans, we're going to rebuild not just Kerrville or Hunt or Kerr County, but across the entire state, across regions. We're going to come together and fight together and ensure that we elevate even better, keeping foremost in mind exactly what Dr. Phil was talking about. As we rebuild, we've got to constantly comfort the families of those who have suffered a loss. Those two things combined, and we will be our quintessential selves, and that is Texas tough, Texas resilient.
Thank you very much. Go ahead, sir.
Mr. President, first of all.
The blue shirt.
Thank you for...
right over here. Go ahead.
I'll wait for Chip. He's my representative. I'll wait for him.
Mr. President, if I could just jump in and just say one thing,
Chip.
Which is I can't thank you enough. When I called you on Friday, you said whatever you need. When I called the secretary's office, she called me within 15 minutes and said, whatever you need, and then she came here this weekend. I've never seen such a quick response and such a focus on delivering for the people. But importantly, I want to thank all of my colleagues in the House sitting right over there. Every single one of them called me personally. Every single one of them reached out to this team that the governor was just talking about, the team effort to deliver for the people of Texas. They're here now, not here at a microphone. They're here just to be here because they believe in this state. And they believe in what you're doing as the president, and they believe in what the governor is doing. And importantly, this morning, I was at a press conference for the Community Foundation of the Hill Country, which has raised over $30 million from the great people of this state and from around the country. And they sent checks out today of $5 million to people in this community to help them with cash for people, for small businesses, first responders, and all the people that need help to reunite. And the final point I'll just say, for all of the media clamoring to ask that ridiculous first question and try to point fingers, the governor said it best when he said that pointing fingers is for losers. This state is about looking forward, and we'll figure out how to make our systems the best they can be. But importantly, when you see 26 feet of water rising a foot per minute, don't go around pointing fingers. The people in this community rallied around to help people, and that's the enduring image. Those little girls from Camp Mystic who were singing hymns as they watched the damage as they left that camp coming out of there, and that's who the people of Texas are. And I thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you very much. And, you know, two words, unity and competence. If you were to ask me two words that I've seen here, one is unity. The unity has been unbelievable. And then the competence of the Coast Guard and some of the people within the Coast Guard that saved a lot of lives. They went out and they saved a lot of lives. But there were others other than the Coast Guard. But I would say competence and unity. The the way everyone has just pulled together. It's rare that you see this.
Mr. President.
Again, I've been to so many, and I've seen bickering and fighting, and, you know, just it doesn't work the same way. This has been amazing. This is, and this is the biggest, because I've never seen one like this. Neither has anybody else, by the way. Yes, please.
Hey, it's still packed, Mr. President. It's been a while since we've seen each other. Obviously, the staffing was where it needed to be. In fact, it was heavier than it should have been because of the holiday weekend. Whatever they're saying in the left news isn't the truth. You're a developer, though. At 1 o'clock in the morning, the technology only goes as far as it goes. Kids don't have their phones. Phones are dead. People by the riverside don't have electricity. They're not going to get a phone alert that way. As a developer, going forward, knowing that everything was done lightning fast by Secretary Noem, by you, by the governor, and everybody else, you did everything right. What do we do next time, though, to make sure that people are alerted if they're dead asleep? Maybe an alarm system, maybe a siren system. You might know better than I. But what do we do going forward? Because we've got to make sure that people get the alert when it's time to get the alert.
Thank you. Yeah, you'll probably have to do that. You'll probably come up with something very unique because there is no system right now. There's been no, this is no, a thing like this has never happened that anybody knows, certainly not to this extent. But I know the governor and everybody is working on it. They're meeting and they'll figure something out. Go ahead, Governor.
Yeah, so we begin a session in 10 days. We will address every single question that you just asked. You mentioned some of the ideas. There are many more. And we want to hear, most importantly, we have to devise a response that's right for this community. And this community has to weigh in, and they need time to be able to convey that to us. But we're going to work on alerts. We're going to work on every single solution to make sure things like this don't happen again, not just in this community, but in other river basins across the state also. So we will work to get it right. And we've jotted down, Joe, every idea that you just mentioned.
Ted Cruz, go ahead, please, Ted.
Well, Mr. President, I want to say thank you for being here. First Lady, thank you for being here. Where we are right now, the Hill Country, is a very special part of the state. It is universally considered the most beautiful part of the state. You've got rolling hills. You've got these incredible, peaceful, wonderful rivers. The Guadalupe River, just about all of us have been swimming in that river, floating in that river. And one of the things that's really special about Kerr County is there 40 summer camps here. This is a place where all across Texas our kids go. The governor's daughter came every year to camp here. Both of you know our girls really well. Mm-hmm. Heidi, the week before this flood, was here in Hunt picking up our daughter Catherine from camp. And Camp Mystic, that faced such devastating loss, is an institution in this state. It's 100 years old. Was founded in 1926. And I'll tell you, in Texas, it's not just here that the hurt is felt. It's every part of the state. Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, Austin, West Texas, East Texas. Texans have gone, and what's amazing is you see at the closing ceremonies of these camps, you see multiple generations. You'll see grandmothers and moms and little girls who have all gone to the same camp. And the pain that the state is feeling. And on Monday, I went and walked through Camp Mystic. In the center of the camp is a cabin called the Bubble Inn, where the littlest girls were staying. And in front of the Bubble Inn are, right now, 17 small white crosses in the ground. And each cross has the name of another little girl who lost her life. And the final cross has the name of Dick Eastland, the camp director who gave his life trying to save his girls. And the water rose in that camp and in that cabin 8 feet high. You can see the water line 8 feet high. It blew the windows out of the cabin and it swept those girls out. I will tell you, I've never seen anything more horrible in my life. And I just sat there crying. I saw mom and dad come up to one of those crosses, drop to their knees and kiss that cross. And the mom was weeping. I also want to tell you, and you said this, you talked about unity. The way this community, the way the state is coming together is incredible. There are stories of heroism. I met a mom and dad who had a 14-year-old boy at Camp La Junta, a boys' camp. Their 14-year-old son was awakened at 3 in the morning. The water was rising. The counselor said, "Let's go save the little boys." And they went down to the 7, 8, 9-year-old boys and pulled them out of their camps through the crashing water. And this mom and dad were crying. Now, their son survived. And I said, look, your son will always have this trauma. You will always have this trauma. But at the same time, your son will always know when he was 14 years old that there are little boys and one day there are men who are alive because he had the courage as a 14-year-old to risk his life to save them. And so we are grateful you're here. And I will say something Chip referenced is very true. There's a video of a school bus full of campers from Mystic after this crisis, riding past the devastation, and they are singing Christian hymns. And I promise you, there's not a person here who can watch that video and not weep. Tears of sorrow, but also tears of joy. So we are grateful for the response, Governor, the first responders, everyone who's come together, and to all the moms and dads, just know we love you. The agony, my street at home, every house has a green ribbon around it for the girls at Mystic. And that's true in a lot of streets all throughout Texas. And we will come through this one way or the other. I'll tell you, the Hunt store right now, the sign says Hunt store, except today it doesn't. It says Hunt strong. They redid the sign. That's the spirit of who we are.
Thank you, Ted.
We're going to take one more question here from the president, and then we're going
to
jump out.
I want to respond just to something that Joe Pag said and the governor. The speaker and I announced yesterday that we will begin our hearings in 2 weeks, but in 3 weeks, we're going to have a hearing in this room so that the residents and the people in this area don't have to come to Austin. We're going to come to them, and we'll stay here as long as it takes to hear their stories and their needs and their wants. So we're going to be here in 3 weeks in this room.
Good, Dan. Very good. Well, I just want to thank everybody for coming together, and the word unity again, but I just want to thank you very much, and we'll be helping you from Washington, D.C., like no other president would do. Nobody else would do it. Nobody else would be even get back to you. You know, you're fully funded, as you know. And, Christy, I would say they were fully funded within minutes of hearing about this. And, you know, the state of Texas, number one, they do it right, and they've done it right for a long time. And it's, a very special place to me, I will tell you that. Politically, I don't want to say politics, but politically it's been a very special place to me. Our great Secretary of Agriculture, who you've done such a great job, Brooke Rollins, you come from Texas, and I just want to thank you. She even got the cost of eggs right down, you know. They hit me with that one, and she got them down so quickly nobody knew what. By Easter, everybody was having eggs at a lower price than they ever thought possible. But you've done a fantastic job. But it's just been a very special state to me, and it's my honor. And we will continue to work together, and we'll, it's a bad situation. And you can never say, oh, it's going to be bigger, better, stronger. It, you know, it's just so many lives have been lost. You can't say that. But we're going to make it. We're going to make it back. We're going to make it back, and we're going to make it good again. And everybody wants to do it. And I just want to thank you, and I want to congratulate you. You guys have been unbelievable. Thank you for your words before. It was unbelievable. The job you've done, Kim, everybody, every single one of you. So you should be very proud. And we're very proud of you. Thank you all very much for
all right. We'll
doing such a
we'll
good
jump
job.
Out of this. Thank you. And we're going to continue with a bunch of other things. I just want to mention, you know, President showing up there matters. When I was reading Selena Zito's book on Butler, she has a whole chapter talking about, you remember when the East Palestine train derailment happened? And so at the time, it's very interesting, actually, at the time that happened, President Trump, candidate Trump, former President Trump at the time, was actually polling below Florida Governor Ron DeSantis among Republican primary voters. They'd soured on him in many respects. I mean, a variety of reasons. You know, you had people out there who were trashing the president, saying he couldn't win a second term if he ran again. I was not one of those people, obviously, but there were people who were very negative on him. And saying that, you know, January 6th ruined him. He should have fired Fauci. I mean, you know, the litany of criticism. At that point of time, he was actually underwater compared to DeSantis. He went to East Palestine and he started handing out McDonald's and bottles of water to people. And it was the beginning of the turn back towards the dominance in the Republican primary. That event, Selena Zito writes about that because, remember, she's covering the northwestern part of or southwestern part of PA, I should say. So she's covering that part of PA and the border of Ohio. So I guess north, yeah, my geography's off. But, you know, that border of Pittsburgh, Ohio, she's covering that area. And so she was there and she was covering it. She was watching as President Trump was handing out McDonald's and water and talking to people and everything like this. And Biden did not go. And it would take him, I think, 2 years until he actually would go to East Palestine. And it was only because he was running for re-election. It was only in an election year that he wound up going. But the showing up matters. It really does. It matters a lot. And obviously, that's been a consistent theme with Trump, is going to these things as soon as he possibly can. And obviously, logistically speaking, you know, when you're the president, you're traveling with a massive, massive footprint. So it takes a little bit longer when you're a president versus a former president. He was able to get to East Palestine probably a lot faster than if he had been in office. But there was no excuse for why Biden couldn't get there a lot sooner than he did. But he showed people and he went. And that's the thing. And that's why going to Texas is really important, and being there and obviously having that roundtable and talking about that. It matters. It matters. It shows people you care. And and he does. And that's a key thing about Trump. He likes to make sure that he's on top of it. And, you know, you got to give him credit for it. I think it's very effective and it's the right thing to do. Absolutely. All right. As we continue along here, I want to tell you about the specials that are going on at Tri-County. Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep and Ram. Incredible offers right now for you. Here are the July offers. For Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, Tri-County Auto Employee Pricing Plus. That means everyone pays what the employees pay. It might as well be Christmas in July. Right now, you can lease a new 2025 Jeep Wrangler Sport 4xe for only, this is amazing, $289 a month for 24 months. That's insane. Or check out a new 2025 Ram 1500 Bighorn and lease it for $459 a month for 42 months. If you want a Toyota, okay, perfect time to get inside a new Toyota at Tri-County Toyota right now. You can lease a new 2025 Tacoma four-wheel drive double cab SR5 for just $259 a month for 36 months. Or buy and get rates as low as 3.75 for 48 months. Check out the rugged new 2025 Tundra and finance for only 1.99% for 72 months. Or get $3,000 cash back. The savings are unbelievable, and the offers won't last long. So what you should do is go to tricounty.com, stop into their showroom today. Look for the gigantic American flag, or visit them online at tricountycdjr.com for more details. Tricountycdjr. My friends at Tri-County will take great care of you and will absolutely make sure that you have the best deal possible. For me, I love driving my Jeep Wrangler. I think it is absolutely one of the greatest cars. I love that it's American, and you'll love driving it, and you'll love purchasing it or leasing it from Tri-County Auto, our sponsor, our friends, tricounty.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You know, I was thinking about the politics of Pennsylvania. So it's interesting the president's coming to Pittsburgh on Tuesday for Dave McCormick's Energy Summit. And we had Senator McCormick on a couple days ago. So if you missed it, podcast, go and get it and take a listen to the interview. But there's an enormous opportunity here. The investment, the deregulation. The deregulation's key. And, you know, I asked McCormick, I said, what's next after this for you? And he said, it's deregulation. It's permitting access, natural gas. So natural gas Pennsylvania, the key to natural gas in the United States of America. I mean, this is what we got, right? In the 2024 election, Joe Biden had put in a liquid natural gas export ban. I talked to Selena Zito about this yesterday. I said at the time how devastating it was going to be politically, and it sure was, because it had so many effects down effects on people, even down into in agriculture. And agriculture is a huge industry in Pennsylvania. It's the eighth largest employer in the state. So it's a massive industry for Pennsylvania. Now we're talking about investments in liquid natural gas export facilities. We're talking about more expansion of nuclear and deregulating nuclear. And we're also talking about speeding up the permitting process as well to get these things online a lot faster. And then you put in liquid natural gas export facility right outside of Philadelphia. So then you cross the river to Jersey. Jack Cittarelli, who's running for governor in New Jersey, wants to do the same thing in South Jersey, liquid natural gas export facility there. We could, between these two states, beat the rest of the country in getting our liquid natural gas over to Europe to supply it over there. I'll talk to Coates about this at 5:30 when Dr. Victoria Coates joins us, but it'd be huge for both states and absolutely a crucial reason why President Trump won was the fact that he was in support of natural gas and nuclear power and all of it. And the Democrats were pushing the Green New Deal nonsense and their Green New Deal climate scam and everything else. To listen to these Democrats blame the flood on everything from climate change to Trump to, I mean, we'll talk to Steve Malloy, junkscience.com. He's great. We've had him on the show several times in the past. Steve's really, really good at breaking this stuff down about their nonsense and their claims and how just ridiculously wrong they are. But the Democrat Party has a major problem. We talked to Gianno Caldwell earlier about it when it comes to crime. And don't forget, July 31st, our big event with Gianno Caldwell and his book, The Day My Brother Was Murdered, talking about America's violent crime crisis. It'll be a great Politics and Pints event. The VIP tickets are on sale. The general event tickets are on sale now as well. Just go to 1210WPHG.com. That's July 31st at the Zlock Performing Arts Center, Bucks County Community College in Newtown. So make sure you're there for that. But the Democrats' problem with energy and how they went all in on the Green New nonsense and turned off energy workers, and not just people in the energy sector and those in that economy, but the other effects of that, how it affected food pricing and transportation pricing, agriculture, manufacturing, all of it. It's a big deal going into the New Jersey governor's race this year, which I think Jack Cittarelli is going to win. I really do. If you ask me, the election's held today, he wins. I believe that. And I'm going to be doing everything I possibly can to help Jack. Well, absolutely. I'm already going to be speaking at two different events for him coming up in the next couple of weeks. I've told the campaign, whatever I can do, whatever you guys need me to do, I'm on board. So, you know, make sure we make it happen, because we can do this. But looking at Pennsylvania as the energy state and the president coming here on Tuesday to be there with McCormick in the state that really, ultimately, I think, along with the other states that he won, a key factor in all this, of course, was the fact that the president was saying, we are going to be behind making America not just independent, but dominant on the world stage, dominant, so that these countries in Europe are not buying Putin's natural gas as they're giving money to Ukraine. All right, that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Venaria. Get your free implant consultation today. What are you waiting for? VenariaDental.com. Coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts. We'll be right back.